All right, let's begin. Incredible as it may seem, another year has come and gone. I can't believe it's 2022 already. What's happened to 2021? I don't know about you, but I don't need a calendar to tell me that time is flying by. My body keeps reminding me. Every day a different body part starts aching, slows down, or just plain stops. I move slower, forget more, and get tired a lot quicker. I'm still trying to figure out what a young guy like me is doing in this 80-year-old body. Every day I look in the mirror and I see this old man looking back at me. And I say to myself, that can't be me. And I keep looking, and finally it dawns on me, it really is me. I wonder, when did this happen? Why didn't I see this coming? How could I have missed something as significant as this? Eventually, of course, I realize that the years have taken their toll. The slow but relentless aging process has overcome me. It's not like I didn't know that it was going to happen, and yet I never saw it coming. I guess I never thought it would really happen to me. As I thought about that, what has happened to me physically, I began to wonder, what's happened to me spiritually without me being aware of it? If my physical eyes have been fooled about my physical appearance, have my spiritual eyes also been fooled? Since the answer to the questions of life are found in the book of life, I turn to God's word, and sure enough, in the little book of Jude, I found the three things that God prescribes we do to strengthen our spiritual awareness so that we'll be able to correctly interpret what it is we are seeing with our spiritual eyes. The scary thing about this eye problem is that there are no warning signs. So we may think that our spiritual eyes are healthy, clear, and focused, when in fact they are not. Because of this, we have to take Dr. Jude's three-question eye exam. Frequently. It just so happens I have your eye chart right here this morning. And I see that it's been a while since you have had your last exam. Since you're already here, how about stepping into Dr. Jude's office and do it right now? I think Dr. Jude is waiting to see you. The Epistle of Jude is easy to find. It's the second to the last book of the Bible. As you are turning to it, let me provide you with a little background information about this 65th book of the Bible. It was written by Jude, who was the half-brother of Jesus, and the brother of James, who wrote the book of James, and who was the head of the Jerusalem church. Jude wrote this letter of about 25 verses, about AD 68, less than 40 years after the Lord Jesus' crucifixion. During our time this morning, we'll be looking rather briefly at the first 16 verses and then focusing on the last 9 verses. Let me begin today by reading to you Jude 1 and 2. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. In verse 1, Jude identifies himself not as Jesus' half-brother, but as his doulos, or bond slave. The Apostle Paul used the same term to describe his relationship with Jesus. A doulos was a slave who had earned his freedom, but because of his love for his master, he goes to him and requests to be bound to him forever. We see the heart of this man by his not mentioning that he was the half-brother of Jesus and stressing that he was his bond slave. He does also identify himself as the brother of James, who I just mentioned was the half-brother of Jesus and the head of the Jerusalem Council, and the author, of course, of the book of James. Verse 1 and 2 are the salutation of this letter, and they identify for us who is writing and to whom the letter is being written to. Jude is being written to fellow believers, who he describes as those who have been called, are being loved, and those who will always be kept. These three designations tell us what God has done for them and what he's doing for us. We, like them, are the called ones. In the past, he sovereignly called them and us to salvation in his electing grace. He continued to love them as he continues to love us, and as he assured them he would keep them eternally secure. We have that same assurance for the future today. Did you also pick up the Trinity on display in that verse? The Holy Spirit calls us, the Father loves us, and Jesus is keeping us. Jude then finishes his greeting in verse 2 by including three divine provisions which they needed and we surely need, especially in times like these: mercy, peace, and love. Let's now briefly look at verses 3 and 4. Follow along as I read them. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 3, Jude tells us what he wanted to write about, initially the subject of salvation. But the Holy Spirit prompted him, because of their current conditions that they were facing, to remind them and us of our need to battle for the truth. Then in verse 4, Jude tells us that it was the infiltration of false teachers that caused him to call his readers to action. These men were denying the person and authority of the Lord and perverting the Bible's message of God's gospel. Now listen as I read verses 5, 6, and 7. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains, under darkness, under the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. In verses 5 through 7, Jude gives three examples from the past of apostates who were destroyed. The unbelieving Israelites who died in the wilderness, the angels who did not keep their first estate, and the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Jude wants us to understand that these types of people will certainly be destroyed by God. Verse 8 now says this, likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignitaries. In this verse, Jude summarizes for us the actions of these apostates. The people of Sodom and Gomorrah polluted their bodies. The unbelieving Jews rejected authority. And the fallen angels spoke evil of dignities. Watch now what Jude says about the preaching of these apostates as I read verses 9 and 10. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Here, Jude, in this verse, summarizes for us the actions of these apostates. The people of Sodom and Gomorrah polluted their bodies. The unbelieving Jews rejected authority. And as I mentioned to you before again, the fallen angels had spoken evil of dignitaries. Here and then in verses 9 and 10, he tells us these apostates preach arrogantly against those who have no understanding. Jude clearly demolishes their claim of superior knowledge as he points out to us that their reasoning was that of polluted animals. Follow along as I read verse 11. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Here he reminds us of Cain who murdered his brother, Balaam who prophesied out of greed, and Korah who rebelled against God-appointed leaders. These stories help us understand the attitudes and the motives of those apostate teachers. You see, as I read verses 12, 13, and 14, the results of their leadership efforts. These are spots in your feasts of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, wasted, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out of their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. These types of false leaders take leadership roles in churches and produce no results. What do? They feed themselves. They're like clouds without water, trees without fruit, They are more like raging waves of the sea, eroding away what we already have that is good and depositing in its place error and anxiety. Listen now and hear how Jude brings this portion of his letter to a conclusion. And Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all that their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage." In verses 14 and 15, he tells us again, God will ultimately destroy them. And then in verse 16, in case we had forgotten what they were like, he once again describes them to us. Now for what I really want to draw your close attention to this morning, Dr. Jude's three questions, eye exam, which we find in verses 17 through 23. By asking ourselves these three questions on an ongoing basis, we will be taking steps which will help protect us from developing the spiritual eye condition which prevents us from seeing and understanding what is happening to us spiritually and what is happening around us. The first question is found in verse 17 through 19. Follow along as I read them to you. "But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own godly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit." Listen also to what Paul said to the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20 and verses 29 and 30. "For I know this, that after my departure, shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." And Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14. "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." Peter joins Paul in warning us about Satan's attacks in 1 Peter 5:8. "Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour." So what are Jude, Paul, and Peter telling us to be? Constantly asking ourselves, am I, are you, on the alert? Are you always on the alert? Are we like the Bereans, which we find in Acts chapter 17, 11? Am I receiving what I read, what I see, what I'm being told with all readiness of mind? In other words, am I making certain on an ongoing basis that those things are in agreement with what saith the Bible. Am I always on the alert? The second question is found in verses 20 and 21. Let me read them for you. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Here Jude is telling us that we need to be constantly building ourselves up, so that the second question we have to be asking ourselves is probably a twofold question. Am I building myself up? And then, how? How am I building myself up? One of the ways Jude tells us to build ourselves up is by studying the Bible, and thereby increasing our understanding of it, and then learning how to apply it. Remember this about Bible study. The real value in Bible study is the application of it. How do I apply what I have read and learned to my life? What's the application? What's the application? And how do I apply that to everyday activities of life? Paul gave the Ephesian elders the same advice in Acts chapter 20, verse 32. Listen as I read that. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. What builds me up? His word. His word. And to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. He told Timothy the same thing in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Again, notice the most important thing here. What? Rightly dividing the word of truth. Another way we build ourselves up is by praying. Paul says it like this in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. Pray at all times and on every occasion, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Stay alert. Stay alert. And be persistent in your prayers for all Christians everywhere. And finally then, in verse 21, Jude tells us to keep ourselves in the love of God. I need to keep myself in the love of God. And how do we do this? We do this by obeying his commandments. This is what Jesus commanded us to do in John chapter 15 and verses 9 and 10. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall continue in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And finally, Jude says to us that we can continue to build ourselves up by waiting expectantly for his return. And now for the third question. And the third question is, according to Jude, we need to be constantly asking ourselves, am I sharing my faith? Am I sharing my faith? Let me read verses 22 and 23. And as some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. I would suggest to you that Jude identifies three groups of people in these two verses that we will more than likely encounter in our daily activities of life. The first group he refers to as doubters. The teaching of the false teachers have caused them to be uncertain about the truth of Christianity. And as a result of that, they have not as yet reached a firm conclusion about the gospel. We must deal with this group of people patiently. We need to be careful so as not to be critical. And of course, be certain that we share the gospel with them and to show them Christian love. The second group consists of those people who are committed to the errors taught by the apostates. They require our immediate attention in order that they might, as Jude says to us, be snatched out of the fire. Snatched out of the fire. The third group consists of those who are deeply entrenched in the false teaching, and from all outward appearances, they are beyond hope. They are beyond hope as we look at them. But, and I say this to you again, but we must always remember nothing is impossible with God. We need to continually reach out to them. So we must extend mercy and, of course, share the gospel with them. But Jude warns us. Jude warns us, be very careful. Be very careful. Always be alert. Especially be aware of those with garments that have the power of sin and what it could do to you and what it can do to me. Never forget that the garments are defiled and that contamination can affect you, can affect me. So as we're reaching out to these folks, be very, very careful that it doesn't cause you problems. The three questions in the eye exam we've now covered. What we need to remember is that these are things you and I need to be constantly doing in order to enable our spiritual eyes to see and truly understand what is going on all around us, and thereby enable us to respond biblically. Let me say that again to you, that we may be able to respond biblically to what's happening in those situations. Let me review one more time the questions we need to be asking ourselves. Question number one, am I alert? Am I alert? Are you alert? Are you like the Bereans? Do I check everything that I read, that I see, that I'm being told against the Word of God? Against the Word of God. Question number two, am I building myself up? Am I studying God's Word every day is my knowledge of His Word increasing day by day? Am I praying daily? How often do I talk with God? Here's one thing we have to remember, beloved. You and I are constantly in motion. You and I never stand still. I am either moving closer to God or I'm moving away from Him. I am constantly, you are constantly in motion spiritually. You are either moving closer to God or you're moving away from Him. So we need to be asking ourselves, in which direction am I moving? In which direction am I moving? And finally, am I keeping His commandments? Am I keeping His commandments? You know, being obedient. Being obedient. Not my will be done, your will be done. Not my way, your way. Walking after Him in the way that He wants us to walk. Question number three, am I sharing my faith? Am I sharing my faith daily with all those people that I'm coming in contact with? Am I sharing my faith? I must confess to you, when I first took this test, I didn't do very well. I didn't do very well. The more I thought about it, the more I felt, I couldn't do it. I just can't do this. And then I remembered the old poem that I'd like to read to you this morning. Listen to it. 'Twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it scarcely worth his while to waste much time on the old violin, but held it up with a smile. "What am I bidden, good folks?" he cried. "Who'll start the bidding for me? A dollar, a dollar, then two. Only two? $2. And who'll make it three? $3 once. $3 twice. Going for three, but no. From the room far back, a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bowl. Then wiping the dust from the old violin and tightened the loose strings, he played a melody pure and sweet as a caroling angel sings. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, "What am I bid for the old violin?" And he held it up with a bow. $1,000? And who'll make it two? $2,000? And who'll make it three? $3,000 once? $3,000 twice? And going and gone, said he. The people cheered, but some of them cried, "We don't quite understand. What changed its worth swift came the reply, the touch of the Master's hand. And many a man with life out of tune and battered and scarred with sin is auctioned cheap to the thoughtless crowd, much like the old violin. A mass of porridge, a glass of wine, a game, and he travels on. He is going once, going twice. He's going and almost gone. But the Master comes, and the foolish crowd never can quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that's wrought by the touch of the Master's hand. After I finished reading the poem, I couldn't help but identify with the old violin. I'm sure that most of you wouldn't have done that, being that you're so young. But let me remind you that when we are members of God's family, we need to allow Him to touch us. And then there isn't anything that we can't do. Wasn't it the Apostle Paul who told us we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us? Let the melodies begin. Let me close in prayer. Lord, I just want to thank you for this morning. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the truth that it contains. And I thank you so much that it provides us with all that we need to stand fast for you. And that's all we want to do, Father. We want to be able to represent you. We want to be able to share you. We want to be able to be used of you to touch lives so that they would be spared of eternal judgment. You are a great God. You bless us and bless us and bless us. I just would pray that not only would we be thankful, but we would be diligent in our service to you because of what you have done for us. Father, burden our hearts for those round about us. Cause us to remember what you have commanded to us, to go into all the world and reach them with the gospel. We can't do that in ourselves, but we can when we're touched by the Master's hand. And that would be our prayer for 2022, that we would be used of you in a great and mighty way. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.